It was billed as the biggest terror plot in Australian history. A blast radius of 40 metres, a caravan laden with explosives destined for a synagogue in Sydney. A Daily Telegraph exclusive whose shockwaves rippled around the world. The terror plot was revealed by the Daily Telegraph last Wednesday, said Sky News, 10 days after the discovery, leading to a flurry of joint police and Minns government press conferences.
Good evening. We begin with breaking news, and a terror investigation is underway after a caravan filled with explosives was found in Dural in Sydney's northwest.
Investigations into the site, into the van, into the owners of the van and any associates of the owners of that van.
As Peter Dutton described it, the discovery in New South Wales of a caravan laden with explosives intended for a synagogue is as sickening as it is horrifying. It is a grave and sinister escalation in this insidious rise of unchecked anti-Semitism in our country. Not just sickening, not just horrifying, not just grave, not just sinister, but insidious too. This caravan laden, it was as though they had explosives strapped to the roof with occhi straps like a couple of surfboards. Yet there was no detonator. It was smelly from the start. This was not the biggest terror plot in Australian history. This was the biggest hoax. This is the biggest hoax in Australian history. It was never going to cause a mass casualty event, said the police this week. It was a hoax, a media and political beat-up. And the mastermind is yet to be found, of course, but the rub is this. Along with the string of terror hoaxes which preceded it, now in double figures, they have changed the laws of this country. They've made this country a less safe place, its institutions less trusted, its social cohesion undermined. Yes, rather than the biggest terrorism plot in Australian history, this is the biggest con job. A con job designed to fuel racial and religious antipathy, to fuel hatred, to divide Australians. And yet hard on the heels of this media hysteria, universities crack down on peaceful student protests, and our politicians changed the laws of Commonwealth in Victoria, New South Wales and federally. They rushed to impose new hate speech laws. The federal government's hate crimes bill even brought mandatory minimum sentences. Now, the legal fraternity, the lawyers are up in arms about this. They rightly came out against mandatory minimum sentences. And why is that? Because it takes the power away from the judges. The judges are independent. The judiciary needs to be independent to determine themselves the severity of a sentence according to the circumstances of each case. These laws make a farce of sentencing. Should somebody go to jail for 2 years because they chanted something or waved a placard which the government or its lobbyists didn't like? The same government which clearly gets it wrong a lot of the time. It got the biggest hoax in Australian history wrong. Who is to decide that this is an act of political expression or maybe spray paint? Who is to decide what constitutes hate speech? That is the point of free speech. Why, for instance, should this guy, who is calling for the execution of all Palestinians...
There's no, it's not going to be a ceasefire.
What's your name then?
We're going to kill all of them.
What's your name then?
Every last one, especially the little Arab shits.
We are going to kill all of them, especially those little Arab shits. Why should this guy get away with it when the guy who had his burgatory shop firebombed in Melbourne, Hashtaya, has been criminally charged for chanting at a peaceful Melbourne protests? All Zionists are terrorists was his chant. You might not like it, but this is entirely legitimate political speech. Not all Jews are Zionists. And how about this Melbourne guy saying that all Palestinians are terrorists and waving the flag? Where's his sentencing? Where are his criminal charges? You can see the difference. The guy inciting genocide, waving the Israeli flag, the guy making the actual racist statements against Palestinians, what a double standard. The guy making the political statement, because Zionism is a political movement, gets criminal charges, but mandatory minimum sentences. This, we're quoting from the Human Rights Law Centre, it is deeply concerning that the Albanese government's hate crimes bill is imposing mandatory minimum sentences. This will lead to politicians instead of courts deciding on punishments and will disproportionately impact the marginalised groups of people. In New South Wales, the Minns government has rushed through laws which could see a person charged with 2 years in prison, a $22,000 fine for chanting or holding a placard near a place of worship. Getting down to the logic of all this then, the government has to repeal these laws. They were enacted on false information. It must repeal them because they will be used unjustly to criminalise somebody wearing a watermelon badge or saying what some complainant disagrees with. This is the logic. We've got an opposition which relentlessly politicises the conflict and the Zionist lobby groups as well. Although, as charities, they're not meant to be political. Nobody polices those laws. The ACNC should take a look at it, but they have utterly failed to preserve social cohesion by allowing this to happen. So the logic is the government cannot be trusted to get its laws right. It even enacts laws on false premises. Yet these same wrong laws carry minimum mandatory sentencing. The other piece of this logic puzzle is that the government's publicly subsidised media duopoly, News Corp and Nine Entertainment, is entirely captured by the Israel lobby. They are even yet to resile from their claims of 40 babies beheaded and all the other false claims. The thing which got the hate going in the first place, they're carrying it on to this day, even as Israel now is clearly committing genocide by turning off electricity so babies will die in incubators, no food or medical supplies allowed into Gaza. That is violence against an entire race of people in Gaza, the Palestinians. Problem is, the logic is that politicians react to media hectoring. So if there are points to be gained by fueling this social mayhem, they, the politicians, like the universities under pressure, they're vulnerable to doing what they deem to be the most populist thing. Let's not forget that immediately preceding the hate speech bill was another farcical anti-Semitism crisis when the four girls were egged in Bondi. The media and the Israel lobby went into overdrive, calling it another act of terrorism, and the politicians got up in Parliament and said the same thing. An act of terrorism rather than a waste of good eggs. And hard on the heels in Parliament, we heard the calls for tougher terrorism laws. It soon became evident that the eggers were a couple of teenagers cavorting about in mum's car in Bondi. And the victims of terror, the so-called victims, may not have even been Jewish. Don't let the facts get in the road of a good story. That's what happened. Again, another hoax, another beat up. But too late. The media hysteria had done its thing. Now, I get it. As far as the authorities go, it's a headache for the system of power to have to contend with the internet. They prefer a media duopoly which they can control, which will run their agendas within the band of the duopoly issues. But on Twitter, on X for instance, there were high suspicions from the start that this dual caravan incident was a hoax. This was barely reflected in the mainstream media at all. And even today, even yesterday, the ABC came out and said shock revelations. It called it a shock that this was a hoax. Nobody on Twitter thought it was a shock. Now, what does this do for trust in public institutions? It's now day 93 since the Israel Adas synagogue in Melbourne was firebombed. 93 days of police investigation and no suspects, but we're somehow told that this was an act of terrorism, of anti-Semitic hatred, without suspects or motives established. The government ought to defund the Israel lobby, the assorted agents of foreign interference enjoying their cash handouts and charity status, or to get them in and demand that they stop spreading racial and religious bigotry, stop the hysteria, and repeal these draconian hate speech laws. The media and the opposition too, they need to stop politicising and beating up what are clearly a bunch of hoaxes designed to fuel hatred. If anybody is to blame for the rise in anti-Semitism, it is them. And while they're at it, they could execute justice even-handedly. The head of the Zionist lobby in Australia, Mark Liebler, called fellow Jewish people repulsive and revolting human beings for criticising Israel. Is that a mark of social cohesion? Where are the criminal charges for Mark Liebler for the hate speech? Anyway, you can see We're wearing a new T-shirt here. Stop legal abuse. You can get it at Lonely Kids Club, along with other merch. Michael West Media and The West Report. Thank you. Please like, share and subscribe. Doesn't cost anything. Hit us up on Patreon if you can afford it. Help us through this legal stash. We've got an update coming very soon. And like, share or comment in the section below.